Chema. So now we turn to a new volume, Collected Works of the Mother, volume 16. Some of these letters appear in other volumes. We have not read them, so we can touch upon some of them. And we'll go rather fast with these volumes, probably one class for one volume. So obviously we'll just take a dip. Now, there is in it a series of letters which the mother wrote to her son, Andreda. So they're very interesting. But I'm just going to read one because it is a reminder to all of us. Her names appear on all the, as a signatory to everything in the ashram. Everything is in her name. Because this was a French territory, 1938. And she being a French citizen, it was much more convenient. And that's why later on in 1954, when India became free from the French, like just as in 47 it became free from the British, in 54 it became free from the French. So that's why in 1955 a trust deed was formed. Basically, in fact, exclusively to look after the material conditions of the ashram. As one of the trustees used to say that we are trustees of the ashram furniture, which is very true. Not of yoga which is going on and the complexity of human nature, no. It was a necessity. So in 33, the mother writes a letter to her son. Because everything is in her name. Now technically, of course, the son was wonderful. I mean, he ended up coming here, stayed here. His next generation family are all here. I had the great privilege of meeting one of her daughters, mother's daughter. So wonderful. Many of us must have met Purnadi, and both of them were very nice, whatever they are. So it was so wonderful, and one could experience that gracefulness in her. When she would walk and everything, you know, it was like you could get a little glimpse. And she used to love India very much. I still remember something very interesting. The day she left the body, mother's daughter, Purnadi, Purna Prema. Granddaughter, Purna Prema. So her French name I have forgotten. What was, you remember the French name? Purna. No, French. She had a French name. Yeah, like first one was Francois. But anyways, so suddenly at night, she came in my dream, wearing all white, in a white Maruti. And she says, okay, I'm going. Bye-bye. Very smiling, happy. So I knew she's actually leaving. I said, I've forgotten what I asked. She said, I'm very happy. Why? Because she's leaving the body in India. This was one thing she used to say. She used to say, it's so wonderful that here you believe in rebirth. Rest of the places we don't believe in rebirth. And that's why Indians are very brave. She used to say these things. Because we are not afraid of dying. It's a cycle. So she was very wonderful for almost two and a half years. I had a very close contact. So what is she writing? Mother is writing to her daughter, her son, Andre, the only son. She's writing that I would like to show you our establishment. And then she writes a little bit about the houses. But then she reminds, the ashram with all its real estate and movable property belongs to Sri Aurobindo. It is his money that enables me to meet the almost formidable expenses that it entails. Fact is, she gave so much of her own. She sold the saris, jewelry, everything. But see how she says, everything is his. It belongs to him. Which at the present rate of exchange corresponds to so much. And if my name sometimes appears on bank accounts, purchase of houses, of automobiles, etc., it is, as I already told you, a matter of convenience for the papers and signatures. Since it is I who manage everything, but not because I really own them. It was, when I had read it, it was so touching and so such a lesson in all this. You will readily understand why I am telling you all this. It is so you can bear it in mind, just in case. Why? Because otherwise property goes, you know, to children and all that complication may come in. See, I am telling you, it's in my name, but it's not mine. It all belongs to Sri Aurobindo. It was so touching. Then the Second World War, we all know that, you know, now everybody speaks about Hitler and Schindler's List movie came out. He was in, you know, the deadly things he did. But that was a time, 1938, when people didn't know. They were going by what he's saying. Even in India, Subhash Chandra Bose wanted to shake hands with him. Gandhiji says, if you, my dear brother, if you want to come, you can occupy the houses. But you know, you should, all this he has written, this all history. And Mother and Sri Aurobindo were the first ones who had seen through the whole mask. He is talking about Aryan, but he is the most un-Aryan Asura Rakshas which one could imagine. Now it's all well known. But during that time, she is writing to her son, speaking of recent events, you ask me whether it was a dangerous bluff or whether we narrowly escaped disaster. He had this way of intimidating, threatening, and then suddenly he would not do that or do something very different. This was his way. So mother says, to assume both at the same time would be nearer to the truth. Hitler was certainly bluffing, if that is what you call shouting and making threats. Tactics and diplomacy were used. But on the other hand, behind every, now this is the important part, because it applies to all times and for all of us to understand, this is what we see in the Ramayana and the Mahabharata, how human beings are moved by forces, all kinds of forces, forces of ambition and lust, which is Asuric, domination, control, power, threats, all this. And against them, the Devi forces which fight. So here is, Sri Krishna speaks of it in Devasuri Sampada and confirms to Arjun that you are a Devi kind, Devi kind, Deva kind. But on the other hand, behind every human will, there are forces at work whose origin is not human and which move consciously towards certain ends. So these are not human forces. We don't realize. Suddenly we get the urge to do something, to pick up something, and we don't realize, because we go with the, that's why go with the flow is one of the most dangerous doctrines. Means don't use discernment. Go with the flow. Now we don't know what flow. So people, when they tell me, I said, okay, but what flow? There's not one flow. It's not that everything that nature is pushing you is necessarily the right thing or the true thing. So she says, the play of these forces is very complex and generally eludes the human consciousness. But for ease of explanation and understanding, they may be divided into two main opposing tendencies. Those that work for the fulfillment of the divine work upon earth, and those that are opposed to this fulfillment. So what does the divine want? This world to become Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram. This world should become beautiful, harmonious. All that the divine, truth should be expressed and manifest. This is the divine force. That's how they work. The former have few conscious instruments at their disposal. The Devi forces, always few. So this is what is indicated in the famous story of the Mahabharata. The Devi instrument are basically only five. Or maybe you can say two or three. Of course, Nakul Sahadeva are also Devi instrument. Against them, not only the entire Kauravas, even many people who were fighting for the Pandavas apparently, were extremely Asuric in their temperament. And this was Krishna's play, that he had arranged it like that. So the former have few conscious instruments at their disposal. It is true that in this matter, quality compensates by far for quantity. That's exactly what Duryodhan didn't understand. At the beginning of the war, he says, we are so many. In front of us, they are shunya. What will Pandavas do? Only Bhim and Arjun little bit, but we have Karna, he will take care of Arjun. Bhim, I'll take care. And we have in addition Bhishma, Dronacharya, Ashwatthama, Jayadrathi. He narrates, if you read the Gita, in the very beginning he narrates, what will these people do? Rest all we'll manage. Their army is much less. I mean, the Kauravas were 11 Akshohini Sena. And the Pandavas were just 7. So every which way they were below. And there's a very nice story about it. The story goes that when Dhritarashtra contacted some astrologer that, what do you feel about the war? He said, definitely you will win, your children will win, because all the stars are in your favor. Things started going berserk. Especially by 10th day, he was pretty confused what is going to happen. So he consulted the astrologers. He says, it is true that the stars are in your favor, but there is someone on the other side who is outbalancing everything. None of them is able to act. Of course, there someone was Krishna, but he didn't know. Mother says that the divine grace completely cancels the entire astrological chart. All this doesn't make any... It doesn't make any sense when you turn toward the divine. This is the one single factor which outbalances. There is a aphorism of Sri Aurobindo where he says that if on one side you have Krishna unarmed and alone, and on the other side his Sena, you see it was his Chaturangini Sena, his army and all the experts and veterans still choose Krishna. That's how the Gita ends. Wherever there is Krishna, wherever there is Arjun, there is victory. So she says that these are very few, but they compensate. The quality compensates for the quantity. As for the anti-divine forces, they have only too many to choose from. And always they find wills which they enslave and individuals whom they turn into docile, but nearly always unconscious puppets. Hitler is a choice instrument for these anti-divine forces. 38, this letter. She's writing. And she's warning this much earlier. The war is still, the clouds are all around. Then, upheaval, forces which want violence, upheaval and war, for they know that these things retard and hamper the action of the divine forces. That is why disaster was very close, even though no human government consciously wanted it. So, at the end she says, therefore war has been avoided, but only for the time being. This came up again, 39th, in a very powerful way. That's when 38, Sri Aurobindo's fracture took place. Because this was, they knew where it has to be hit. So then we have many letters, all of them are wonderful. She speaks to the teachers and to how what should be the way of teaching, speaks about dreams, speaks about sleep. They're all small letters. So one of them is, there is a question which is asked to her, to which she replies. We often ask, can one realize the divine? She says, there is no one for whom it is impossible to realize the divine. That's so heartening. But she says further, only for some it will take many, many lives. That's the direction towards which we are moving. Whereas there are others who will do it in this very lifetime. It is a question of will. It is for you to choose, ultimately. That's what we know, the story of the Bhakta and the Jnani. And it can change any time. Sri Aurobindo quotes this story in one of the letters. Narad Rishi is going to meet Lord Vishnu and both of them ask, Jnani and the Bhakta, when will he come and see me? And when will I have his darshan? And he says, okay, I'll find out. So he comes and tells the Jnani, it will take 3 more lives. He says, 3 more lives. My God. So much tapasya, 3 more lives I have to do. Okay, then I'll do it. Rest I'll do in next life. He gets up and goes away. He says, why should I do now? 3 lives, so I'll see now. Next life I'll sort it out. Anyway, the assurance is there. After 3 lives I'll get. So he goes to the bhakta. And he says, you know, you can see how many leaves are there on the tree. Too many, cannot count. He says, that many lives. Bhakta says, oh, he will come and see me. I'll meet him. I'll have the darshan of my Lord. And he starts dancing in joy. And as the story goes, that very moment, Sri Hari, Lord Vishnu, manifests. He says, that intensity suddenly compressed the time. So this is how it depends on us. Okay. So she says, there is only one love, the divine love, eternal, universal, equal for everyone and everything. This is the origin of love. It is man, the human being, who calls all kinds of feelings love. So she differentiates between feelings which rise and go. Love by its nature is self-giving. Feelings is not necessarily love. So that's what she differentiates. All the desires, attractions, vital exchanges, sexual relations, attachments, even friendships and many other things besides. Human beings call it love. But all that is not even the shadow of love, not even its deformation. I can imagine. These are all mental and vital, sentimental or sexual activities and nothing more. Blessings. She is not saying do it or not do it. She is saying, but you should know what is what. Don't mistake a peach and orange. They are too different. That one must be clear about. So there is another very interesting question. Sweet mother, what is the difference between desire and aspiration and between selfishness and self-realization? She says, desire is a vital movement, aspiration is a psychic movement. When one has had a true aspiration, unselfish and sincere, even divine you don't want for yourself, you want for the sake of the divine. That's how she says, starting point. For the vibration of aspiration, luminous and calm, has nothing to do with the vibration of desire, which is passionate, dark and often violent. Selfishness means wanting everything for oneself. See, that's what the asuras also do, lord of tapasya. They want something for themselves. That's why at the end they get deceived. Whereas, if you ask, read the story of Dhruv, I was very touched. I remember when I read it, it hit me very hard when I read the story. After such a strenuous tapasya, Lord Vishnu comes. Narad and even Lakshmiji is trying to tell him, you see, he's a child after all, no, why are you making him, why don't you go and... he says, wait, just hold on, I am taking care. You can protect him if you want. He is protected. So at the end, after long strenuous tapasya, he comes. The original tapasya was because his brother had sort of become the prince. Or rather, next in line, and his father's affection was for his brother because of the wife. He had 2 wives, his father. So that's why he took to tapasya. It was not with any high motive because he felt deceived, cheated, hurt. And he told his mother, I am going, what do I do? She said, you pray to, I can't do anything about you. Your father loves this lady much more. So, but, you know, he says, then where do I register my complaint? If not you, dad won't listen to me and you cannot do anything. He says, go and tell Lord Vishnu. He governs the whole world. You go and talk to him. He left the house. Very beautiful story. And he does tapasya. Now, I have read that story. So, I was saying after reading at the end, Lord Vishnu comes. So, he says, what do you want? So, he asked him, I'll say in Hindi because it has hit me very hard that time. Aapke charanon mein akhand avichal bhakti. What do you want? He has forgotten that he wanted the throne, his father had misbehaved, everything he has forgotten. He said, just give me forever bhakti, bhakti which is akhand, unbroken, avichal, which never ever moves. Give me that kind of bhakti for you. And he's very happy. So that's why you have a tara. He gives him additionally a whole kingdom to reign in the subtle worlds. Dhruva tara. That's how, no, all, that's how it comes from that. So he says ki you have this like goes beyond. It's Dhruv ki bhakti. It's well known, celebrated in many of the songs later. I said, this is what is worth doing. Not for anything outer, but for such a nearness to the divine. So Dhruv's bhakti. So that's why she is saying, selfishness means wanting nothing for oneself, understanding nothing but oneself, caring for others only insofar as they are necessary or important. Selfishness, huh? She is defining, lest we forget. Selfishness, once again, I'll read. Selfishness means wanting everything for oneself, understanding nothing but oneself. That's why always, na, you don't understand me. Arey bhai, thoda mujhe bhi samajh lo. So understanding. Caring for others only insofar as they are necessary or important to oneself. In French, self-realization means discovering the divine center in one's being. Now she's saying one is selfishness. Sri Aurobindo says the only sin is selfishness and meanness. Everything is fine, but wanting for oneself. But she says it's so universal that you have no choice but to pardon it. In English, self-fulfillment generally taken in the sense to be successful. Sri Aurobindo in his writings uses the word self-realization to mean realization of the self with a capital S. That is to say, becoming conscious of the divine in oneself and identifying with him. So, very practical. Many things. So, I've just made a little selection. Okay. This I am reading only for historical sake because many people have this misconception that, you know, sometimes they think that, you know, mother comes from a Christian background. First of all, she was a Jew, just for record's sake. But she was not encouraging anybody to go to this, that, either temples, Gurudwara, mosque, because you are into a spiritual life. So somebody asked, sweet mother, do you think it isn't good to visit the churches here to see the midnight ceremony? Still some people go. What does the mother say? Why go to church? Are you Christians or do you want to become Christians? This is her answer. Sri Aurobindo spent his whole life working to free men from the bondage of religions. He wants us to go further. Do you want to contradict his work for the sake of a childish, idle curiosity? Then people used to go. No. So she says, up to now, all those who have gone have done so without asking. She would not stop if you are going on your own. Because they sensed that it would not be given. If you ask permission, it will not be given. And something very interesting, she says, it so happens, what is the age we are living in? It so happens that we are not in an age when men have been left to their own means. The divine has sent down his consciousness to give them light. All who are able to do so should profit by it. Then there is one of her messages where she writes, the world is preparing for a big change. Will you help? So the person asks, what is this great change that you speak of? How can we be of help? This is, I think, 1st January 1970. So she asked, what is this change you are speaking of? Big change means what? We think of political change and other changes. She declares, the great change, this great change is the appearance on earth of a new race that will be to men what man is to the animal. Very powerfully, very clearly. 1970. The consciousness of this new race is already at work on earth. That's the Superman consciousness which had come. To give light to all who are capable of receiving it and heeding it. And when she was asked, what are the conditions? She says, wideness, plasticity. She was very clear on what is required. And she said, many things which we consider as very important have no importance from the supramental standpoint. She was asked what? She said, for example, ascetic purity, that morning you get up and then you will do all this puja. Second thing she said was, I mean, we have read that whole conversation. Sanctity of marriage, 70s he's saying all this. We give it great importance. Divine doesn't give it all that importance that this is mine and that is yours, by its very nature. So that's how she explains that there's a new world based on truth, which will see the truth in the heart, not all these outer things, paraphernalia. Okay. People ask, now cinema is shown in the ashram. We don't have any bhajan mandali, but we have cinemas because we have to do the bhajan inside. Even while having bhajan, bhajan has to come. Bhajan literally means take joy in the divine. Literally it means comes from the root bhaj, bhunja. Bhunja is enjoy. Bhunjita, tena tak tena bhunjita, bhakta comes from that. Bhaj is to take joy in the divine. If you take joy in the divine, it's that's what is bhajan. Bhajan is not doing something mechanically or with idea of getting something. But movies are shown here. Saturdays, I think, when tomorrow or something, again there is a movie. So she is asked, how should we watch a film? If we identify with the characters and if the film is tragic or full of suspense, we get so involved that we cry or feel frightened. And if we keep aloof, we cannot appreciate it properly. So what should we do? Mother gives us a formula. It is the vital which gets touched and moved. If you watch mentally, the interest is no longer the same. Instead of being moved or troubled, you can calmly judge the value of a film, whether it is well made or well acted, or whether the scenes have any artistic value. This clarifies because people keep asking me, sir, aapne ye movie dekha, wo dekha, Dhurandhar ka bhi bol diya. So that's okay, this is sanctioned, but you have to watch it in this way. Not get very excited and depressed or come back fighting. In the first case, you are a good audience. In the second case, you are more peaceful. So even in the ashram, newspaper. See, when did, since then, now people say reports are biased, YouTube makes a selection. We all know if you click open one or two, the same thing will keep coming to you. Now people have understood. And you will see, and you think, oh, this is what is happening. Oh, this is what is true. Right? This, I think everybody knows. That if you open 3-4 times one particular, YouTube picks up the suggestion, smart AI, it will keep sending. And you will wonder, oh, this is what is happening all through. There is a contrary viewpoint which will not come. Even that is false. So all the viewpoints now, audience is beginning to understand that you have to use your mental filter. Don't take it that everything that is shown on the TV, everything that is shown on YouTube is true. Far from it. So in ashram, long, long back, when people wanted to read newspaper, so mother had kept a room for it. Now it's the library room. When you enter the ashram, no? So now it's the library. So newspaper used to be kept there. Newspaper was relatively new and all that. And she had given a name to the rooms because she used to give names. She said, room of falsehood. Now people were very surprised. Do I go inside, read? What do I do? Then she knew these are all biased reports, colored with vested interest. Now we are talking about it all over the world. This is, so she was asked, how would we know what is happening in other countries and even in our own if we did not read newspapers? This is the background. At least we get some idea from them, don't we? She says, I did not say that you must not read newspapers. I said that you must not blindly believe everything you read. You should know that the truth is altogether different. I think it's as relevant today. Only newspapers have been replaced by YouTube. This is the last series where she speaks. Very interesting. Yeah, this is the last series. 14. To a sadhak of the Sri Aurobindo ashram. Some of these people, she's writing letters, they were new. Some of them, they are letters to 13-year-old, 14-year-old. And when you read it, it's written in that language. Little smile. There's a girl who is, she would call as little smile. So she's a 17-year-old girl. She would feel hurt. She would feel, and how mother would assuage her feelings, explain to her. It's amazing. So this is to a sadhak of the Sri Aurobindo ashram. Names are not given because it's meant for all of us. So people start connecting with names. There are some, for example, there are somewhere Taradi letters. So she would, it is written to a captain who came at a very young age and she was here till 74. So you can make out. So we are at a moment of transition in the history of the earth. This is a very powerful statement. It is merely a moment in eternal time. If you look at it from like Chatur Yog, like lakhs of years. If you see, you know, Rama's time, even 17,500 years. If you see Satyug, which is even before. And actually the yugas get compressed. It becomes lesser and lesser. Like Kaliyug will be the shortest. So if you really look at it that way, actually there is a calculation that the first yuga, Satyug is longest, then it becomes half, then it becomes half, then it becomes half. It's for to keep us in comfort zone. So she says it's a moment of transition. It is merely a moment in eternal time, but this moment is long compared to human life. Everybody wants the results now. 56 mother has said, new world has come. Where is the new world? Now, first of all, we don't want to work anything. Suddenly, new world should appear. And we have our own idea of new world. Our idea of new world is that suddenly there will be zero taxation. And government will give us pakka maka. That's the new world. You know, communist world or whatever world. Okay, these are good things. But that's not what new world is about. New world is about new creation, a new being with a new consciousness. Not the same old being. So she says that it takes time and human beings think only in short term. Matter is changing in order to prepare itself for the new manifestation. This is what she is saying in 71. That this is a work which has begun and recently so many now researches have come, are coming, that human body is changing. I'll give one concrete example. Many people, very, very concrete example. Because in Air Force I have seen this. There was a time when in Air Force, girls would not be taken as pilots. Fighter pilots, no way. You know the reason? Because they are not tall enough. Generally, the average height of the girl was shorter. Now, a time came when they picked up the height and the difference was just a little. The change came so much that they readjusted the cockpit that now it's okay. Just imagine. This is actually in our lifetime we can see. Many other things. They have studied the brain and found, for example, that the brain continues to grow dendrites till whatever. Earlier it was after 30, they start declining. Even in cells, deep inside studies, immune system, now that's a different subject altogether. But the human body is changing. It's opening to some kind of an influx, which we don't know. I mean, scientists don't know. So he says matter is changing. But the human body is not plastic enough and offers resistance. That's why so much importance to physical education. What the mother is saying, we will do the work for you, spiritual and everything. Body, you at least run. I can't run for you. And see how Swami Vivekananda had the intuition. So toward the later part, when somebody asked him, he said, oh, we have read the Gita enough. Tell our children to play football and grow nerves of steel. They are too much into the mind, intellect. But physically, vitally, if you are weak, all this intellectual understanding cannot translate in real practice. This is why. So now she says, but the human body is not plastic enough and offers resistance. This is why the number of incomprehensible disorders and even diseases is increasing and becoming a problem for medical science. I think the other day I was mentioning this, isn't it? That ideally, medical science gave us hope that we are going to find a cure for every disease and, if possible, remove every disease. If this was true, the number of hospitals and doctors should have gone down drastically. Logical, pure logic. But the reverse is happening. Everywhere. Not only hospitals are increasing, patients are increasing. Of course, doctors are becoming very rich. I'm sorry, Doctor's Day has just passed. But, you know, but number of doctors, hospitals, like anything, mushrooming. Yeah, in Pondicherry you see. Now I think 8 or 10. Earlier there was only basically Jipmer. Even GH is a later addition. How many? So obviously something is wrong in our understanding of ourselves. Something is missing. Something we don't understand. And new diseases, all kinds of new diseases. Mother says the reason is that there is a great pressure on the body to change. The body is not able to do it. So like if you put too much pressure on something, it breaks down. So different madnesses she spoke about. For the moment, the number of mad people in America is increasing. And then she says it is good. She says it is a good sign for the moment. Because, and you see today, many people who would have been considered totally crazy, maybe in our parents' time, you know, if you had your half your hair colored green, sab patri vatri se leke sab dikha diya hota. It's because the human mind is unable to adapt, because that, what is it doing? It's widening the mind, and mind is human. If you are narrow minded, you will not understand what's happening today. You will start saying, where is the new world? Where is the new creation? So many divorces I have seen in my own as childhood, not my own life, but first time as a child when you hear parents alag ho gaye, you feel a shock, you know. Parents bhi alag ho sakte, like for you it's like your world has fallen apart. Is it really? Is it possible? Now it's the norm. And children adapt very beautifully. They don't expect that parents will live together hereafter. Somehow, something has happened to them. They are steering through all this and growing. Now, which way is a different subject, not taking it. So many things are happening, cross-cultural things, which we cannot understand right now. Even travel, intercontinental travel, your body is adapting to many, many kinds of changes and forces, including radiation. We may not understand what kind of transmutation it's doing in the cells. The remedy. What is the remedy then? What medicines? He says the remedy lies in union with the divine forces that are at work, and a receptivity full of trust and peace which makes the task easier. Something is going wrong within us. We need to open to the divine and be receptive, full of faith, and that will take care. And it'll evolve, help us evolve. Doctors, okay, temporary, and that's why people don't understand why you control one disease, another comes up. So many, every doctor knows, starts with some innocuous something. You went to a doctor and said, sir, my throat or something is bad, and he checks up by chance and he finds your cholesterol. So he gives you medicine for cholesterol. Then you come after 6 months, you already have blood pressure. He controls blood pressure, diabetes comes up. Then you have nervousness, you can't sleep. Then you have acidity. By the time you first visited for a pharyngitis, sore throat. After 2-3 years, you are stuck and glued, full of fear. That's how it is happening. So, that's not the remedy. Nothing against doctor, they are very nice guys. Okay, recently people were wishing me Happy Doctor's Day. I said, I don't know what to wish back. Should I write back Happy Patient's Day? Only divine is the healer. So my response was, Jai Ma, Jai Jai Ma, Ma Ma Ma. So, then she says something very interesting. Those who want to progress now have an exceptional chance. Leap toward the future. Because the transformation begins with the opening of the consciousness to the action of the new forces. Thus, individuals have a unique and wonderful opportunity to open themselves to the divine influence. This is something which I am seeing for quite a number of years. Children are so open. Opening, like old people are the biggest problem. Stuck in their, you know, mental, rigid cabins. Children are so open. I know 9-year-old, 7-year-old, 10-year-old. Of course, I must say all of these who have come from different places for the class, psychology class. How is it? This is peak summer. They should be looking for a place to enjoy. And this has been happening for quite some time. And it is something very heartening, heartwarming to see that under something, one may not know the outer reason, outwardly one may say this or that, but there is something deep inside which pulls. So this is happening today because there is an exceptional power which is at work, and if you wish, it's an exceptional chance. The purpose of individual existence, which we all ask, what is my purpose? We think purpose means job. Job is, it's a very small externality. Job has its place, okay. But what is the purpose? Is the joy of discovering the divine and uniting with him. When one has understood this, then one is ready to gain the strength to surmount all difficulties. So when we are in difficulty, distress, crisis, why God is doing this to me? Why me? Why me? All over the world when it is happening, you are not bothered. Only when it comes to you, then you are bothered. And mother says, difficult hours come to the earth to compel men to overcome their small personal egoism and turn exclusively to the divine for help and light. The wisdom of men is ignorant, only the divine knows. Once I remember one of my clients, so the lady was very hurt. Husband is this, husband is that. Husbands are like that. This is a whole breed, species. Husband species means like this, like that. So she was very worried like most of the time. I said, okay, I understand your problem. But once if you just try to forgive and move further, you have a goal. Because mother has given that in towards the future. So I tried to explain to her that thing in my own way. He said, how can I? I said, see, you want to progress, this is the way. If you want to fight, struggle, then lawyer is the way. Then I am sorry, I can't help. Because that's not my forte, to take sides and all this. This is not my job description. So I said, you think about it. You come back after 1 week. If you think this path, you are ready to undertake your own journey, regardless of him, independent of him, I'll be with you, help you in this process. After 1 week, she says, yes, I make that choice. I said, how are you feeling? She said, I feel so much lighter, unburdened. I said, do you really need a therapy now? She said, that's what I'm wondering. It was a mock fight. It's not needed. I have my life. I have to grow. That's it. Toward the future, where is my goal? I've forgotten everything and I'm fighting. I said, yes. He will go his own way. You're fighting or no fighting. He's not going to change. That fellow. Forget about him. So then she understood and grew. So, difficult hours come to the earth to compel men to overcome their small personal egoism and turn exclusively to the divine for help and light. The wisdom of men is ignorant, only the divine knows. If Mirabai would have gone, you know, at her that time to a lawyer, God knows what he would have advised her. Or to a psychiatrist. My husband doesn't love me, he doesn't understand all this. But thankfully she turned to the divine and she became what she became. Our human consciousness has windows that open upon the infinite. Many, many, many. Not just mind, and she's not just referring to the chakras. Yes, mind center, heart center. But many windows. But generally men keep these windows carefully closed. Mind should not allow anything higher and deeper. Maybe, you know, satagya. You should move within the limits of analytical reason, which is hardly any reason, but still people believe they are very rational. Until you point them out, you are being very stupid. Honestly, they believe they are very rational because they just don't believe in the divine. I remember once one of the Netaji here had come. He owned half the Pondicherry at one time. He came with his two sons, DMK party, somebody. He says, "See, I really need your help. I have heard so much about you, psychiatric help, and I don't want to go to the government, this thing. They all know me." I said, "Okay, what is my sons, both of them need therapy, counseling." Before he is leaving, he is telling me, "Just don't tell them about Mother and Sri Aurobindo. Don't tell them anything about God." I said, "Why, what is the problem?" He said, no, in our party manifesto, we are not supposed to tell about God. We are supposed to be rationalists." This was the word he used. I said, "I'll tell them rationally about God. What is the problem?" He puts a condition, "Don't talk about God because we are rationalists." I said, "Rationally, you will end up believing that there is a divine presence. If you are really rational." He said, no, sir, it is our party manifesto." Okay, I said, okay, fine, I'll deal with that. And then I called his wife. She was so unhappy, crying bitterly. She said, "My life has been ruined by this man. He doesn't allow me to do any puja, doesn't allow me to connect. I suffer so much." She started, whole family was suffering because this man was onto an ambition trip. So this is how, you know, so there are many windows, but we keep it closed, tightly closed. We have to open them wide and allow the infinite to enter in freely in order to transform us. That's why agnostic is fine. Agnostic is open, it's not closed. Atheist is, "Fellow, I have closed myself." Theist is also a problem because he shuts himself in a formula. Divine is only this, otherwise no. So... agnostic is most suited because he is open to possibilities. So how to open the windows? Where is the latch? Two conditions are necessary to open the windows. Ardent aspiration, first condition. I really want it. I aspire for the divine. I seek for the divine. Whatever you want to call it, something higher, truer, more beautiful, even it may be totally a secular aspiration. Something which is truly truth, worth having. Second is progressive abolition of the ego. They don't go together. Kabir has said this in this way. Prem galiyati sakari tame dona samahi. Jab mai tha tab hari nahi. If we are always preoccupied with ourselves, then we can forget about God. The divine help is assured to those who set to work sincerely. And then she says how to overcome the ego and what was its role and purpose, etc. She even speaks about psychic guidance vis-a-vis mental guidance. So she says, psychic doesn't speak. It is not mental communication. It's like a little feeling, calm, quiet and luminous. Understanding and generous, wide and progressive. Its constant effort is to understand and progress. Communications from the psychic do not come in a mental form, very clearly. They'll take a mental, like a sentence or something. They are not psychic communication. They are generally mixed. Again, what a wonderful classification of human beings. Maybe with this we could stop. Human beings could be classified under four principal categories according to the attitude they take in life. What is it? Mother is talking about the four Chaturvanya? No. She is speaking of that truth. So what is that? Number one, those who live for themselves. They consider everything in relation to themselves and act accordingly. The vast majority of men are like this. So often when people ask, ashram jaake kya milega? What will I find if I go to ashram? So I tell them it's a non-starter. Maybe you will lose few things. So what? I say maybe you lose some very close personal relationship, your attachments you may lose, your desires you may lose. Oh, then it's okay. I said not okay. When it happens, you start feeling. But that's the way. So first is who are living only for themselves, even God must be at their service. And usually 24 hours. He is after all the one who can already always blame. And poor fellow, he has no wakil. He will take the blame. This is the first category, who live only for themselves. You can include family a little bit. Two, those who give their love to another human being and live for him. You have those movies, rare, Dil Ek Mandir Hai. As for the result, everything naturally depends on the person one chooses to love. If it is Ravan, Mandodari gave her life actually. That's why she is regarded as one of the Panchkanyas. But it's a life of suffering. But because she learned to give but to one human being. Okay, fine, fair enough. Number three, something still higher. Those who consecrate their life to the service of humanity through some activity done not for personal satisfaction. So even service to humanity is not just I'll give and I'll, my name should be imprinted, somewhere it should be written, people should know. Television nowadays, you know, the new thing is, inhone isko itna kuch diya, dhana rashi di, seth ji ne, I said, bhai. So they have all these, you know, advertisement in their name. So she is saying, putting the condition not for personal satisfaction, but truly to be useful to others without calculation and without expecting any personal gain from their work. Say a doctor, I know a few doctors, at least one I know for sure. There's a book written on him who never expected any money from his patients. Plenty of patients came, never took any money. So his wife had to join a school to teach because how would they run the household? Very nice story. The title of the book is Ek Doctor Aisa Bhi. One of my friend's father, Dr. Dubey. And what a kind of life. So there have been some doctors, some other, even if you see Baba Amte who started Anandavan for lepers. So it's a humans very high on the scale. But still, there is something still greater. Four, those who give themselves entirely to the divine and live only for him and through him. This implies making the effort required to find the divine, to be conscious of his will and to work exclusively to serve him. I say, nahi sir, manav seva to sabse badi hai. Not in our culture. Hanuman and Arjun are regarded as the ultimate acme. If you go anywhere, Hanuman, why is Hanuman regarded as someone? Because he works for the divine, serves the divine, lives for the divine. And thanks to him, a whole civilization undergoes a change. Because he's an instrument of the divine. Arjun is an instrument of the divine. He's fighting a war. He did not feed anyone. But Karna is Danvir. But when it comes to taking a side, he is against the divine. So there this. It may look like a difference is small, but there is a substantial difference. Service to the divine far exceeds all others. But most human beings don't regard it as something worthwhile. It's much later that they understand. She says, in the first three category, one is naturally subject to the ordinary law of suffering, disappointment and sorrow. It is only in the last category, if one has chosen it in all sincerity and pursued it with an unfailing patience, that one finds the certitude of total fulfillment and a constant luminous peace. And it's so true. There is a difference. And service to the divine facts, he says, it's so rare because hardly anyone recognizes it. But if you go to Indian culture, you'll see it. It's there. Nowhere you'll see manav seva is higher than Bhagwan ki seva. Bhagwan ki seva is higher. Whatever its impact. But she's saying, these are the conditions. Do not live to be happy. Live to serve the divine, and the happiness you enjoy will exceed all expectations. Even just to be happy. Because you are living to serve the divine, divine gives you whatever you need. Not only inwardly, also materially. And if you live to serve human beings, always there is a give and take. At some point you say, mera expectation aai jayega, aaj nahi to kal aayega. So all this brings nothing wrong. If that's what one is ready for, it's fine. And then she says something very powerful. We are at a decisive hour in the history of the earth. It is preparing for the coming of the Superman. 69, so this is 71. And Superman, as Nalinida said, is already here. Superman is a person or a being with wide consciousness, open to light, benevolent. He described certain characteristics. But body is human. Supramental being is, even the body undergoes a transmutation. So Superman is the first step. We are at a decisive hour in the history of the earth. It is preparing for the coming of the Superman, and because of this, the old way of life is losing its value. Precisely the thing that parents feel is going wrong is precisely the thing that is going right. Remember the story of Daksha Prajapati? The head is fixed in the opposite direction. When he thought he is moving forward, he is actually moving behind. And when people thought he is moving backward, actually he was moving in front. This is so beautiful story. See, divine surgeons don't make a mistake that they sutured the goat's head other way around. A very beautiful story. And then he does tapasya and comes out. So we are at a decisive hour in the history of the earth. It is preparing for the coming of the Superman, and because of this, the old way of life is losing its value. We must strike out boldly on the path of the future, despite its new demands. Children know this. It's because we want the old way, we suffer unfortunately. But if we understand that it's to make our consciousness wide and plastic, we see Mother spoke of these two things, wideness and plasticity, and many other things, generosity and aspiration, courage. The pettinesses once tolerable are tolerable no longer. What are the pettinesses? We know many of them, but some of them. Wife is my property. What can be more petty than this? She is my property. What is her job description? Now she has to cook my meal. Look after my kids. Ye bhi nahi ki bhaiya uske bhi bacche hain. Mere bacche hain. She will stay inside the house. There was a situation, even now there are in some parts, which I find very, very strange even now. Men come, sometimes they ask, when they come sometime with their wife, बोली बहुत आना चाहते हैं तो आए आज हम आते क्यों नहीं नहीं वो इनके बिना मैं जा नहीं सकती. मैंने कहा कौन से जमाने में जी रहे हैं. टिकट कटाइए आइए गेट द टिकट एंड कम. नो 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 इट्स वेरी डिफिकल्ट. देन रियली इफ दे गो आउट अलोन लाइक मैन कैन कम एनी दिस समथिंग वी ऑल नो मैन कैन ट्रेवल अलोन नो एनी वेयर जनरली इट यूज टू बी योर जनरेशन इज लकी लिटिल बिट बट इफ अ वुमेन मैरिड वुमेन ओके सो आई मस्ट कॉशन यू. Married woman said, I want to go alone and let's say even to a place like Pondicherry or any ashram, I want to travel alone and then I will stay for some time and come back. It's very difficult. Things are changing because, you know, people are claiming this right, which is good. And now they are afraid of women. Very good. Because now Devi Paksh shuru ho gaya hai. Pitra Paksh chala gaya. We have these two, no? Pitra Paksh and Matra Paksh. So Matrapaksha is when after September till New Year Sankranti. Matrapaksha is when the year is turning new. It's there, no? Our mythology. Heard, no? Matrapaksha, Pitrapaksha and Matrapaksha. Pitrapaksha is Shraddha. The dead is dead. Then starts, after Shraddha, starts Matrapaksh. It'll take you right till Vasant. Saraswati Puja. Isn't it very symbolic? Pitrapaksh is dead. Is gone. Ancestors. And then the new, because mother gives birth to the new. So every civilization they study is when women are placed in the forefront. That's the sign that the civilization is actually advancing. They may not understand in the beginning. There'll be errors. It's okay. I mean, something new. So, but eventually that's the sign that a new age is dawning. We must widen ourselves to receive what is going to come. I think with this we will stop. Let me see if there is anything else. I don't think. Yes. Chamber.